Thank you. Thank you. This meeting has nothing to do with my retirement. This was originally was going to be a series of lectures I was going to give to engineers on three different subjects, and we decided that we'd try to combine them and do them in different parts. And it happened before I decided to resign, and we will discuss strategy and problems and engineering questions. My retirement is, any question you want to discuss after is open, except my retirement, which is a brand new idea and I haven't thought about. Bob Palmer taking over is a brand new idea, and it's unfair to ask him yet. And so these are not the reasons we're meeting today. For those of you who haven't met Bob, and I'm sure most of you have. You stand up, Bob? Bob joined us several years ago to run our semiconductor operations, made a great success of it, started a lot of good projects, very effective manager, and we asked him to take over manufacturing, and everything has been positive there since, and so everyone's very enthusiastic about Bob. The three subjects I was going to discuss in a series of lectures were, first of all, what were the ideas and concepts we had that motivated us to start digital? Some people think they're particularly important to go over now. We'll save them and put a few of them in today. The second one is on the delights of budgeting. Budgeting should be one of the most valuable parts of an engineer, a business manager's life, and something which is the tool that makes everything fit together and should be the thing which his power rests. And the third is, I forgot what the third. It was one of those. Today I'll try to combine them together, and then later on we'll expand some of these. The third one was on the meaning of client-server computing. And I may throw a few of these in briefly in today's talk. Today's talk, I'd like to identify what I think are the three problems of digital, and then go into some detail on them. The three problems I see are: our products cost too much to make, our products cost too much to sell, and our big customers say they won't buy from us anymore. Three simply stated problems. Probably three questions with very simple answers. But the nature of engineers is to be reactionary. And most of our managers are engineers. And making any changes from the past is very difficult. So the three questions I want to solve, make sure I answer them, are: what do we do about making our products not so expensive to make? What do we do to make it less expensive to sell our products? And why are the big customers saying they won't buy from us? One of the key values we had in the development of digital was that everyone has a right to having a plan and a budget and a goal. Everyone has the right, this might be a group, might be an individual, to the stability of a committed plan and budget. The budget and the plan should be the one thing an individual or a group values as being the key part of his job. It's the budget which is the vehicle for management. It's the vehicle for knowing where you're heading. It's the vehicle to know every increment of time what you've accomplished and what you failed at. The budget is also the vehicle for communication. Communicating with your boss, communicating with the people working for you, communicating with anyone who's dependent on you or that you're dependent on. The budget, the plan, is one of the most important things in an engineer's or business manager's career. One time, when we used to run everything by budget, we review them regularly, someone pointed out, these engineering managers have learned to snow us in presenting the results of their budgets. But then they added, those budgets we review, they really get the things done, even though they're snowing us. Those with no budgets never get anything done. The budget also means security. Some managers do not want their people to have budgets because they want to fool around all year with a whole project. And you can't do a project unless you have a budget. When we set up product line 30 years ago or so, gee, we were smart. I don't know how we could be so smart. We said that when we gave a budget to a group, it was their obligation to adjust it when things when the environment changed, when the results changed. But that budget was sacred. We would not steal from one person's budget to give it to somebody who happened to look better that day. When we went to business units, people said, if you separate the company up into business units, they won't cooperate. And you know what happened? They did cooperate. They cooperated because they had safety from their colleagues. Their budget protected them from their peers. The boss was not going to steal from them, change the rules on them in order to emphasize his favorite at that moment. And it made cooperation. Lack of a budget, where things are at the whim of the manager, generates politics. A devastating idea. If you don't have a budget that is sacred and dependent on you to make changes, you have to be with the boss every minute of every day at every meeting to make sure your budget isn't taken away from you. And that is the ultimate in politics. With a budget, you then have the security to know that your project is sacred. With that comes the responsibility to propose terminating the project, if it's clear that should be done, to propose growing the project or to cut back on the project as the budget progresses. But there's security in having a budget. Without a budget, you don't learn. There's a lot to learn. You never get done as much as you think you get done. It always takes longer than you think. You never learn that unless you have something to time yourself with. Bob Everett saw walking in the door. I was doing a thesis. He was my supervisor. Partway through the thesis, I completely changed the thesis. And I know he said to his colleague, we'll teach Olson some humility. Let him do it. Interesting thing was, I got it done, but I sure did learn the humility. Nice things, when there's a schedule, you learn. Now, how do you budget a corporation? What I'm going to say now
And the concept I'm going to try to get across to you now is one very difficult for people to understand. Engineers should understand it readily. I took the algebra out in case you're like me and haven't used it for a while. The first chart was quite intimidating. It shouldn't have been. An organization that, for example, makes cars has a group of functions. There's a development engineering group, marketing group, selling group, service group, finance, and a few others. It's clear they all work for the automobile company. It's clear their goals are to make that automobile a success. No engineering manager will say, hey, I decided not to make fenders because I just didn't believe in fenders. And the automobile dies. It just doesn't happen. Very simple organization. Companies with several products, but each product has its own functions. They might make air conditioners and locomotives and refrigerators. Each one has their own set of functions. The functions are part of the team that makes that product. Digital and a few other companies are quite different. And it's very hard for people to acknowledge this and understand it. See if I can get it across to you. We have 50 business units, you might say 50 products, along with 8 or 10 functions. And this is a quite different organization. And if we try to make digital look like an automobile company, or digital look like an air conditioner company, we miss the problem and we miss the obvious way of budgeting the company. Each of these business units has a strategy to win a segment of the market for the corporation. Paddy Foy markets computers to the power and utility industry. Willow Shire does it to the health industry. Abbott Weiss does it to the retail industry and so forth. Each one has different needs, different strategy, and shares the same functions. If you organize by function, each function has to somehow be sensitive to and satisfy the needs of all 50. But being a monopoly, that's not easy. Now, see if I can show it on. If we have 50 business units vertically, and we have 8, 10, 12 functions, product development, manufacturing, marketing, selling, systems integration, and so forth. And we have selling of a certain type of computer, industry business units, and it comes to about 50. How do you budget the company? The obvious way for people to fall into is to add up all the functions. When you want to save money, you tell the function, save money. But it's not logical. It doesn't make sense. The obvious way is to budget each business unit. They specify what they need from one, function one, what they need from function two, what they need from function three, one for function four. Now you realize when I call functions, I'm not saying functions in the algebra sense. If you want to write this out in algebra, you would say the business unit is a function of function one, two, three, four, five. It was too intimidating to put algebra down. You'd also say the function is the sum of what the business units have asked for in that. In algebra, you put a sigma where I equals 1 and goes up to n, and you put that down here. That's too intimidating. There are two ways of budgeting. You budget the functions, and you budget the business units. It's obvious that you want to be business units, because what do you do in business? You want to go into those businesses which are most profitable and cut those out which aren't profitable. You want to make investments in those businesses, put capital in that are going to be profitable. The only way you can do it is to see how profitable each business unit is. See how much they can promise in growth, promise in profit, and invest in those. If you look at the functions, what can you learn from that? Approximately zero. If you're not surviving, you're not making profit, you arrange the business units in order of profitability and growth. And you keep cutting the bottom ones out until you have the profit you need. Very logical, very simple. What do you do if you have all the functions and you're not making profit? You take squeeze out costs. Yeah, at whose expense? Most likely at the most promising business unit. Now, the immediate reaction of people is, yes, Ken, get off it. We understand. Don't keep saying it. But I bet you don't understand. I bet you don't understand. And let me tell you why. Every time we instituted this, these people all quit. The idea of these people who are junior people, why are they junior? Because the power sits up here. And some of them are women, even. And can you imagine these people taking orders from women? I mean, how much, you know, how liberal can they be? 30 years ago, we set business units up. I wish I was joking on that last item. We set up business units. We said there are several business units, and everyone works for the business units. Most of the business units quit. We had a fellow who did our literature advertising, and he was good. He made the base, set the basis for our success in that area. We've been good ever since. Being 2 or 3 years older, he was here, being 2 or 3 years older than the business unit managers, he said, no way will I take orders from those people. And he quit. He insisted on the prerogative of printing obsolete literature if he wanted to. Now, the sad thing was, business units needed help in literature and advertising. If he laid out a program for each one of them, they would have bought it, and it would have been his program. The important thing to him was not his program and not success, was that he make the decision. And not people 2 years younger. He was 33 and these were 31, I think. Literally. Now, it was suggested that I don't go into these things with you. These are very profound organizational matters, see. But one of the values we brought from MIT with us was that we be open on all issues. When I worked at the computer lab at MIT in 1950, it was a very open laboratory. There was an overt plan, strategy to expose us to everything, outside and inside. Send us on trips to see what was going on, to know what the air defense problem was. To know there was no technology going anywhere else, but to know everything else. With a top-down management we've been having for the number of years, the strategy is keep people in their cubbyhole and not let them get exposed to anything outside their cubbyhole. Now, by the time I was 30, I had enough management ideas picked up from MIT, often radical, that I was willing to start a business. And my theory is no one should not be exposed to these concepts. So I'm giving them to you. My theory also is your bosses should make sure you know everything going on at Digital and not lock you into where you work. And our original goal was that people in a team should participate in the goals for that team. Not other people's teams, by the way. That's quite different. Participatory management doesn't mean you participate in all the other guys' problems. No, the problem you're responsible for, you participate in. Very important concept, I believe. Some of you are already more than 30. You're old enough for this solid meat. Not to start a company. Or if you do, at least have some reasonable concepts and theories on it. One of our biggest problems is people don't think about these things. Now, one of the consequences of functional management is these people get more and more power. As they get more and more power, people here are reluctant to even ask for what they want. I got to go to registry of motor vehicles. What a terrible thought. They're a monopoly. Wait in line, you know, a monopoly. And that happens to people with power. If you're waiting in line at Emerson Hospital, there's a girl at a desk, she got you under her control. That's monopoly, see? That's monopoly. And each one of these people is a monopoly. And for the last 6 years, we've run it that way. And we have not been doing well. And for 3 or 4 years, I've been promising to organize this way. And for 3 or 4 years, I've failed. And you can see, they are not about to give up their monopoly problem, or their monopoly power. With that monopoly power, you develop people who are strong, tough, and appearance of being great managers. The outside world thinks very highly of them. The board of directors thinks highly of them. No way will they give the time of day to these people. And no way do they work for me. With that much power, they do not work for me. They don't work for me with that power. And I failed at getting this business oriented. Now, the concept here has two problems with it. Very important problems. One is you make a business unit budget. This is overly simplified, of course. For each of these functions, they have a choice of doing some themselves and some centrally. And that has to be added up that way. But in simplified form, this is it. And they learn to keep their head down, and they've not had the opportunity to ask for and get what they need to survive. I can see one face out here who was involved in SME a year ago, and it failed. He said it failed because no way could he get that third party responsible for picking, that monopoly that was responsible for getting third parties to sell the SME product. He could do nothing. Somebody in the field held a monopoly for that. He had predetermined failure because the monopoly was held here. No way could he succeed. We have two problems. They have to ask for it, and the monopoly has to be gotten rid of. And when that monopoly gets rid of, you can be assured that most of those people will quit. It shouldn't be. It should not be. And you can be assured they'll fight it all the way. By the way, the Alpha program office is up here. It's nowhere in the chart. It just has control with nothing. People think, Ken Olson doesn't like Alpha. I like Alpha. They run roughshod through the company, and they don't even hear it. Not only have no response, but I'm just a victim of it. It was never official. I never set it up. I don't know anybody. It just runs roughshod through it. So that's up here is the Alpha program office, eh? And when I try to get hold of it, people say, we're going to quit because you don't like Alpha. No, it is organizationally independent and runs everything. Take all the people off Ultrix and put it on Alpha. Take all the people off BMS, put it on Alpha. You know, cancel the R4000 projects, make it Alpha. You know, I never know about it. So you see the proper organization when you have this sort of thing. Then I stand up and humbly take responsibility for it all and get fired for it. You see my point, though. In order to run a complex company, you have to budget business units. In order to have them responsible for their business unit, they have to define what function. Key item. And if we are ever successful, you start off assuming that all these people have quit. It's nonsense, but it's always happened. See? And I won't go through all the other names, you know, of the people who have quit because they had to work for. I'm tempted to. because the story is so terribly critical, you see. I won't mention names. But with the product lines, things were going very well. You know, we grew 20, 30, 40, 50% a year. Made exorbitant profit. Engineering vice president said, no more am I going to take orders from them. I'm going to make all the decisions and not report to them. 5 years with no product. 5 years with no product. Would not take orders from the business units. When he finally said, enough of that, we're going to all work together. Almost all the business units quit, including the vice president of engineering. We got people to work together on plans and budgets. We had some of the best years of the company. I've not been able to do that this time. But we better learn, or I claim, the slide that we've been on for the last 6 years, when we've dropped budgets, dropped marketing, dropped business units, is going to continue. Now, going through the list of problems we have, budgeting and management are a key part of those problems. If you lay out a budget, stupidities, inconsistencies stand out so blatantly you're not allowed to get away with it. If you make changes on the fly, swap from one operating system to another, from one chip to another, and all the time keep things in the air, no one can nail you for inconsistencies. If you lay out a plan, a long-term plan, stupidities and inconsistencies hit you square in the face. And we better do that right now. Now, other problems I said are problems cost too much to make. Reason our problems cost too much to make is we make, first of all, too many of them. The marketers and the sales people say, give us just two machines, a big one and a little one. We say, you'll love the next 15 we're doing next year. See? You know, people say, this is an exaggeration, I'm sure, but it costs 3 to 4 times as much to put a machine into production as it does to engineer it. And the goal of engineering is to say, how many computers can we fit in that budget with no account of how much it's going to cost the company afterward? And the goal of you, computer scientist, is always forget the mechanical things, we're computer scientists. We're pure. Know nothing. The cost of a computer is in the hardware. The cost of the computer is in the tooling, the inventory, the cables, and the boxes. And when we make a pile of computers, it just bleeds the company. It also takes a week of training for every salesman for every new computer. You count the computers we have going and multiply that out, there's no time for salesmen to sell. Now you see the significance of this. If we decided computers, if this was a computer, or a set of computers, what are they willing to pay for? We'd have a different line of computers. You see, it's a question, who runs the company? If we make all the computers because we're the people at the top, we make so many computers that you can't count them all. Or if you let the business units pick, you make very few computers. And if you ask the computers, what kind of box do you want? You ask the customers and the salespeople, I'll tell you what they want. They want a box that is never without room for one more disk. If they ever fill it up, it's a failure. And you know what our engineers want to do? For every even number of disks is a new box and new inventory. And the goal is never waste a cubic centimeter space in each box. And in order to do that, they stick disks at all kinds of angles, and it means a dozen funny, scuzzy cables. Now,